Blog Talk Radio.
Within the city of David, in the 11th year of Joram the son of Ahab, Ahaziah began to reign over Judah. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out of the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, "Is it peace, you Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked out at him. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled on her. Then he went in and ate and drank. And he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." But when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. When they came back and told him, he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the territory of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of a field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say, 'This is Jezebel.'" Chapter 10. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. So Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria, to the rulers of the city, to the elders, and to the guardians of the sons of Ahab, saying, "Now then, as soon as this letter comes to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, fortified cities also, and weapons, select the best and fittest of your master's sons, and sit him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house." But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, "Behold, the two kings could not stand before him. How then can we stand?" So he who was over the palace, and he who was over the city, together with the elders and the guardians, sent to Jehu, saying, "We are your servants, and we will do all that you tell us. We will not make anyone king. Do whatever is good in your eyes." Then he wrote to them a second letter, saying, "If you are on my side, and if you are ready to obey me, take the heads of your master's sons and come to me at Jezreel tomorrow at this time." Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, who were bringing them up. And as soon as the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and slaughtered them, 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets, and sent them to him at Jezreel. When the messenger came and told him, "They have brought the heads of the king's sons," he said, "Lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until the morning." Then in the morning when he went out, he stood and said to all the people, "You are innocent. It was I who conspired against my master and killed him, but who struck down all these. Know then that there shall fall to the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord has done what he said by his servant Elijah." So Jehu struck down all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, all his great men and his close friends and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Then he set out and went to Samaria. On the way, when he was at Beth-Eked of the shepherds, Jehu met the relatives of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and he said, "Who are you?" And they answered, "We are the relatives of Ahaziah, and we came down to visit the royal princes and the sons of the queen mother." He said, "Take them alive." And they took them alive and slaughtered them at the pit of Beth-Eked, 42 persons, and he spared none of them. And when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart true to my heart as mine is to yours?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand. And Jehu took him up with him into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he had him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he struck down all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, till he had wiped them out according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to Elijah. Then Jehu assembled all the people and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him much. Now therefore call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshippers and all his priests. Let none be missing, for I have a great sacrifice to offer to Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live." But Jehu did it with cunning in order to destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu ordered, "Sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal." So they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. And they entered the house of Baal. And the house of Baal was filled from one end to the other. Then to him who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring out the vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. So he brought out the vestments for them. Then Jehu went into the house of Baal with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and he said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that there is no servant of the Lord here among you, but only the worshippers of Baal. And they went in to offer sacrifice and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed 80 men outside and said, a man who allows any of those whom I give into your hands to escape shall forfeit his life. So as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guard and to the officers, go in and strike them down, let not a man escape. But when they put them to the sword, the guard and the officers cast them out and went into the inner room of the house of Baal. And they brought out the pillar that was in the house of Baal and burned it. And they demolished the pillar of Baal and demolished the house of Baal, seated a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu wiped out Baal from Israel. But Jehu did not turn aside from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin, that is, the golden calves that were in Bethel and in Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. In those days, the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel. Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel, from the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the valley of the Arnon, that is Gilead, and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. Chapter 11.
The day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. James Smith, Gleams of Grace, 1860. The Lord Almighty says, behold, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the proud and the wicked will be burnt up like stubble. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. Malachi 4:1. 1. The terrible fact. Behold, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. The element of punishment is fire, the fiercest, most powerful, most penetrating, and most destructive of the elements. Fire, and plenty of it, for it is a lake of fire. Fire glowing with fierceness, fire strengthened, contracted, and fed, for it shall burn as a furnace. This will be more dreadful than Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace, more than the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be so terrible that no words can set it forth, no imagery can represent it, no mind can conceive it.
The Bible book. Amen.
The punishment will be irresistible. It is devouring fire. There will be no standing against it. As when the prairie is on fire and floods of flame come sweeping along, there is no resisting, no escaping it. In the same way, none can resist or escape from the devouring fire with which the day of judgment shall be ushered in. The punishment will be eternal. It is everlasting burnings. It is unquenchable fire. It will feed on sinners, but never consume them. It will punish, but never annihilate them. It will begin, but never end. It is forever, forever, forever. Everlasting punishment, eternal fire. Yet the punishment is just. No one will suffer more than he deserves. Every sufferer's conscience will be satisfied that his punishment is his just due. No one will be able to charge God with cruelty or injustice, for God will have a witness in every man's bosom that he is doing right. Every sufferer will be silenced with a conviction that he is only receiving the just reward of his deeds. 2. The characters doomed. On that day, the proud and the wicked will be burnt up like stubble. The proud, proud professors, and proud worldlings, all who unduly value themselves and despise others, all who are too proud to submit to the righteousness of God, or to bow to be saved in the same way, by the same grace, as the thief on the cross, or the immoral woman, all who in the pride of their hearts reject the gospel, put away the invitations of the Savior, and refuse to be reconciled to God, all who despise the poor saints on account of their poverty, or any of the Lord's little ones on account of their infirmities. The proud always exalt man, insult God, yield to Satan, and grieve the Holy Spirit. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A proud sinner cannot be saved. Pride is the root, and wickedness is the fruit. The proud are always wicked, and therefore the proud, even all who do wickedness, are doomed to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. The wicked, that is, all who will not observe God's law to walk by it, all who will not embrace Christ's gospel to be saved by it, all who will not fly to the refuge provided for the guilty. 3. The doom. They will be burnt up like stubble. They shall be as stubble dried by the eastern sun, on which the flame seizes, feeds, and strengthens. They shall be fuel for everlasting burnings. They shall be utterly consumed with terrors. Their destruction shall be complete. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. It shall leave them no root, no hope remaining. While there is a root, there is hope. But when the root is gone, there is no hope. It shall leave them no branch. There shall be no beauty left. All will be gloom, misery, and woe. This is certain, for God himself speaks. He speaks as the God of war.